Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:22 Greenwich Mean Time, and today is January 16th. And this has been another day in which we've seen carry trades being unwound. The dollar was quite strong in here today, and back above 76, so it's found support above the lows that we saw back in November in this sort of gradual rangy bottoming out phase for the dollar. Of course, that's not to say that the dollar won't go lower at some point further on in the year. But with the general anxiety in markets at the moment, we're seeing carry trades being unwound. So the dollar is a bit firmer in here, as is the Japanese yen generally, particularly against currencies like the pound. Also, we have seen that the pound euro rate, which has been really quite in favor of the euro recently, had a key reversal yesterday and followed through somewhat today. So that may be a peak of at least near-term significance for the euro. Now, looking at where that is going to take us, with these carry trades being unwound, that is telling us that investors are generally getting out of positions. And that's where we're seeing some of the weakness, not so much today on Wall Street, although the Nasdaq was quite weak, down about almost 1%. But, for example, we had Hong Kong down over 5%. And a number of those leading markets in Asia, for example, Indonesia and Malaysia, also were pulled back really quite heavily in here today. And, again, that is an unwinding of what has been really quite a good momentum trade over the last 3 to 6 months. India also today pulled back reasonably sharply, although still has that progression of higher lows. And when you look at the bank index in India, well, then it tends to dispel any great worries about the overall direction of that market. Although, if we see further weakness in Wall Street over the next couple of days, I think it's unlikely that India is going to remain immune from that, and there will be some reversionary risk there. But for the moment, it's a tower of strength in relative terms, although I do think that risks are rising there. And looking at the precious metals sector, actually, let's talk a little bit more about the stock markets. Because if you look at those LIBOR spreads that I posted on Comment of the Day today, you can see that those spreads have contracted really quite considerably, particularly in the US and the UK. And that contraction of the spread over LIBOR really shows us that banks are not nearly as distrustful of each other as they were only, well, 6 weeks ago, actually a little bit less than that. And we've seen those rates coming, or those spreads really tightening up really very, very considerably. Central banks injected a huge amount of liquidity before Christmas in an effort to try and get the credit markets moving. And it does look like they're starting to succeed. But their bedside manner in terms of how they are dealing with the overall market and how they're the kind of signals that they're giving off to whether they really understand what's happening and whether they are capable of taking control of the situation and sending a signal that they are willing to do what is necessary to avoid a recession. All of those things have been sadly lacking in central bankers' approach to stock markets and to the bond markets over the last 6 months. Hopefully that is starting to change. With you had that really quite powerful speech by Ben Bernanke on the 10th, and he's testifying before the Open Market Committee tomorrow. And one would hope that he makes another emphatic statement tomorrow. I think markets have already priced in a 50 basis point cut at the very minimum. And hopefully that's what we're going to get, and we're going to get further actions and tough talking by central bankers telling us that they are on top of this problem and they are going to do everything in their power to avoid recession. And if they do that, then the chances are that we're going to see a low of importance at some point in the first quarter. But looking at stock markets right now, and we see so many stock markets right down at their August lows, and markets, for example, like Brazil, where it's right down at the bottom of its range, and we're seeing a lot of potential topping formations in here at the moment. We haven't seen evidence yet that there is a low being put in right now, and what we do need to see is some support building, and we need to see markets rallying up and holding rallies, and that's not something they've been able to do for quite a long time, over at least over the last 6 months. So those types of things are what we will be looking for, and there's no evidence of it just yet. And right now, given the sentiment that's out there and the technical patterns, some further deterioration wouldn't be entirely surprising, although a lot of markets closed off their lows in here today. So the signal that is coming from the credit markets and the interbank markets might be filtering through to stock markets, but no conclusive evidence of anything like that happening just yet. Now, looking at the precious metal markets, well, gold and silver rallied up considerably over the last month or so, and were a little bit overextended, and I suppose really had consecutive days on the upside. And it does look like gold is consolidating around this area at the moment. If it comes, I think probably worst case scenario, and this I think is worst case scenario, let me emphasize that gold could come back to 850. There's probably a lot of stops between here and there, and it could be a rocky ride, and it does look like that this consolidation will be volatile. But at the moment, it is looking like nothing more than a consolidation of this really good breakout above that 850 level to new high ground. And hopefully, with a bit of luck, it will provide us with a consistent uptrend where there are a series of steps. If it does that, it will allow lots of us who haven't got positions to get in and stay in, and those of you who do have long positions in gold to leverage up behind in the money stops. Hope that's our best case scenario. And at the moment, it does look like a consolidation, very much similar to our similar story in silver. There was a bit of iffy data yesterday, and silver actually shows today on the charts that it closed well off its lows yesterday. So it's down 42 cents in here today and below $16. And that is actually about 10 cents off its lows today, but it does look like a consolidation. Silver is notoriously volatile, and it's not unusual to have a range of a dollar on the day, which is a huge percentage gain, but or loss for that matter. But again, it does look like a consolidation, and there will be, I think, opportunities over the next couple of days to pick this up a little bit cheaper, but they'll probably be intraday, and you'll really have to be at the screens, I think, to avail of the volatility. And looking at some of the grain markets, soybeans closed down today almost 25 cents. Now, that's about halfway on its range, and it's a rather large move in terms of the overall uptrend. So we're seeing a little bit of a loss of momentum here, although certainly nothing that's categorical telling us that it's hit a high of near to medium term significance. If we saw any day that was limit down, that would obviously be a clear signal that the buying pressure had deserted the market, at least in the short term. Corn as well was down marginally in here today, but it's holding above that $5 level really very, very well. And as long as it does that, there's no reason to doubt it at all. But I think there is the risk of contagion hitting these markets. The fundamental story behind precious metals and agricultural commodities is really very strong. However, if we see concerted weakness across stock markets, then I think it's unlikely that we're going to see the agricultural commodities or precious metals remaining immune from any contagion selling, because these have been momentum plays, and they have helped to pad out the trading books of a lot of investors. But if they see losses mounting on stock market portfolios, they'll be forced to sell profitable positions to cover holes in their P&L in other areas. So that's where contagion could come from. But there is, I think that's a risk, but it's certainly not a certainty out there. Industrial metals today were a little bit weaker, and they were weak yesterday as well. So we're seeing ranging activity primarily with nickel, for example, where it's at 27,900 today, and it's been ranging more or less between 25,000 and 30,000 and a bit over the last 3 or 4 months, and it's in a base building pattern at the moment. Industrial metals are, well, concerns about the economy, both in the US and globally, are weighing on the industrial metals. So that is something that is ongoing, which will probably be resolved in the first half of this year, and we can anticipate a number of these industrial metals, I think, pushing upwards once more. But I think investors will have to be patient. And the bond markets were a little bit weaker in here today at 119.01, so backing off the highs that it made yesterday on the 30-year treasury. We did have a statement from the ECB today that central bankers will have to be vigilant about the risks to growth in the Eurozone. Of course, growth is not their mandate at the ECB. Their mandate is to control inflation. So it remains to be seen whether they will act to promote growth or to protect growth at the European Central Bank if inflation remains a worry. That is something that will be quite interesting. I think probably what could move them is the strength of the euro. If we see further rate cuts at the Fed, and while the dollar is stronger in here today, and there is every possibility that it will gradually range back upwards towards 78 on the dollar index and then probably continue to range sideways. But if we see further rate cuts, and there is 50 basis points already priced in, but there is every possibility that we'll see more rate cuts and interest rates in the US fall considerably before below where they are in the Eurozone, that could potentially cause the ECB to think about cutting rates because the euro could become uncomfortably high. And in the competitive world of globalization, as we've mentioned on so many occasions in the past, there's no country wants a strong currency or is willing to tolerate a strong currency for very long, and particularly those reserve currencies such as the euro or the US dollar or the pound. And with that thought, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.